So after all of this, I'm thinking of something I heard Srila Guru Maharaj say recently with regard to Krishna consciousness. And he said, well, actually, I'll read it from these notes. He said, there is a saying, and he's singing a Bengali song. And that Bengali song says, if I can be mad besides my reason, leave my reason behind, can cross by reason the world, the plane of reason, then I shall feel much satisfaction. If I become mad, rather than a sane man in this plane, I want to be mad. Then he quotes the Bengali, which is Pagal Hoite, something Ami, Jabo, Brahma Pagal, Vishnu Pagal. So he's saying, and it's not just a tangent, it's not just some history. He's saying, now that we hear, it's this famous place of learning. And more specifically, what kind of learning? Nyai. Nyai means logic. Rational thinking. Right? That's what it was famous for. That's why it's very important that these pastimes begin there. It's a peripheral reason, but a reason nonetheless. So in the place where they're completely established in logic, they're the gurus of logic. Right? That's what Navadvip was at the time of Mahaprabhu. Everyone in India knew it had this reputation. The greatest pundits stood there, the greatest logician, the greatest nyayik thinkers. Nyai is Sanskrit for logic. So that's where they are. And what's being sung in this song is saying that three Pagal people, Pagal means crazy, three crazies entered Navadvip and started smashing all of this logic and rational thinking. Who are they? They're Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. Right? Who are the three crazy people? Right. Brahma means Haridas Thakur, as we sometimes say, Brahma Haridas. Right. Vishnu, in this case, means Nimai Pandit. Right. And Shiva, in this context, means Advaita Acharya. So the three of them, they're the three Pagal, the three crazy people, who are smashing all the logic of the logicians of Navadvip. Right. So, the real world enters. It's going to just be what it is. Okay. So, I just want to see, and he said, he says, what is desirable for Brahma and Shiva has been pulled down in this worldly, ordinary plane, and they are dancing, chanting, and playing on mridanga madly, and ordinary people are very satisfied. Right? And the logicians are puzzled. What is this? Mad, abnormal thinking. So what is normal to the plane of logicians? We want to neglect that. No logic. Right? So when Mahaprabhu is called over by Prakasananda Saraswati, the leader of 60,000 Mayavadi sannyasis, he's saying, you look like a very dignified person and very honorable and respectable, but we hear, word has come to us that you're singing, dancing, chanting, getting emotional, expressing different types of sentiments. So that's not the proper behavior, mood, and characteristics for a sannyasi. The sannyasi should be engaged in studying seriously the scriptures and have a grave persona about them. And so these are the rumors I've heard. I don't know how so far it's true. Right. So, Mahaprabhu's response to that there's a very famous sloka from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Evam Vrata Svapriyanama Kirtya. Gotta be a little quiet, whispering. Jatanurago Druta Chitta Uche Hasatya Atto Roditi Roti Gayati Unmadava Nitri Loka Bhaja. So it says that Mahaprabhu is answering him by saying, my Guru Maharaj, he could see that I didn't have the adhikar. I wasn't so qualified to study philosophy, Vedanta, and such things. So he told me, considering your lack of qualification, and he said, he called me murkha, which means foolish. He said, you just take this Krishna Nam chant. You could see I was a simple-hearted person. You just take this Krishna Nam and chant this holy name, and you don't need to focus so much on the study of Vedanta and other things. And then Mahaprabhu said, I began taking Krishna Nam, like in Guru Maharaj's song, and echoing the what was expressed in Chaitanya Charitamritam, Krishna, 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 Nama, Kirtanam. What's the next line? Nama. Yatra tatra Krishna Nama Danya Loka Nishtaram Prema Dama Devameva Nomi Gora Sundaram. It's also expressed in the beginning, Krishna Nama Siddhu Dama Danya Dana Sagaram, that Krishna Nama is the abode of all nectarine substances. So Mahaprabhu is saying, I found, Nimai Pandit saying, after my guru gave me this mantra, I would chant the mantra, and then sometimes I would experience ecstasy, my hairs would be standing on end, tears are coming down. Sometimes I'm laughing madly, like a madman, just laughing. And he describes all the ecstatic effects of taking Krishna Nam. He said, so I went back to my guru and said, what kind of a mantra have you given me? What is this? And when he told, and the guru said, what is the problem? He said, I'm taking this name and sometimes I'm crying, sometimes I'm laughing like a man, and my hairs are standing on end, I'm falling on the ground, I'm becoming stunned in the process. And his guru, they went, oh, Hare Krishna, we've read about this in the scriptures, that for those who are pure, there's a state of divine happiness and madness. That they will, for those whose heart is pure, who can offensively chant the holy name of Krishna, these will be the effects. Right? Like, what is it? In the Shikshastakam, it says, after Asli Shabha Paravatam, no, not that. The crying sloka. Nadanam nadanam sanarim. Ayinanda tanuja kinkarambhijitamamishanayama. What's the next sloka? Yugayitam nimishena chakshusha pravrishayitam sunyayitam. Anyway, there's, you know, actually in one sense, cheto darpanam marjanam bhava maha davagni nirvapanam shreya kairava chandrika vitaranam vidyavadu jivanam anandam buddhivardhanam. This is all right. Anandam buddhivardhanam pratipitam punamritas vadanam from vijayate Sri Krishna sankirtanam. So anyway, Mahaprabhu's guru took it that, yes, when we're told if one can chant the holy name of Krishna offenselessly, then the natural outcome is spiritual ecstasy. So you're very blessed. And that was the beginning of his description to Prakasananda Saraswati Thakur. But then we should point out, at first, the reason he noticed Mahaprabhu is, as is the custom in India, when walking, it's dusty there, the feet get dirty, so when you reach the doorway, you wash your feet first and then go and take your seat. But Mahaprabhu, after arriving, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and washing his feet, he sat in that area, which, as you can say, considered to be a little fit, unfit, unclean. But at the same time, sitting there in a potentially dirty place, or a conventionally dirty place, everyone noticed this incredible effulgence that had entered the room. So they're all drawn towards this divine radiance emanating from him. And that's when Prakasananda, "You're sitting, Your Holiness, please, please, come here." Right? What is that effulgence? Rupa Goswami gives us a hint, because it's the external manifestation of what's going on internally with Mahaprabhu. So in the Chaitanyastakam, it says, "Raso Dhamma Kamar Buddha Madhura Madhurojula Tanur Jatinam Utankshas Tarani Karabidyoti Basana Hiranyanam Lakshmi Varan Abhibhavan Angika Rucha Satchetana Kame Punarapidashor Yashati Padam." So here Rupa Goswami is giving some description of Mahaprabhu. And he says, "Hiranyanam Lakshmi Bhavan Abhivavan Angikarucha," this golden effulgence. But then we, "Jatinam," as a sannyasi, "Jatinam Utankshas Taranikara Vidyoti Barsana." So great was the radiance coming from Mahaprabhu's heart, infused with Radha Bhava, Duty Subalita, Nomi Krishna Surupam, that not only was his complexion radiant like molten gold, but the sannyas vesh was also as if it was being illuminated. So all the clothes covering him, they were also glowing. That's how great his effulgence was. So they invited him in. And then, of course, he discussed with him the actual meaning of the Vedanta Sutra, converted Prakasananda Sarasvati, who had 60,000 followers. So as the guru, so the disciples, by converting him, 60,000 sannyasis were also converted. Right? But anyway, Srila Guru Maharaj, he makes this point from time to time, where he's saying, as Mahaprabhu tells Ramananda, that he says, "Ami ek botul tumi dvitiya." I wouldn't keep moving that, because I may open this again. Yeah. All right, leave it there for now. I'll try not to open this again. He says, "I'm the first crazy and you're the second." And what does that mean? It's paralleled in the Bhagavad Gita sloka. It says, "Yani sha sarvabhutanam tasyam jagrati samyami," that what is night for one is the time of awakening for another, and vice versa. So it means that there's a world where someone's awake in that world, and everything is understandable, perceivable to them. And it's like madness to ordinary people. But is it madness, or is it something substantial? Srila Guru Maharaj would give the example of Einstein, right, saying that what's makes sense in the brain of Einstein, that might appear to be madness to an ordinary person. But that does that mean that Einstein is crazy, or an ordinary person is crazy? If he writes one of his formula on the board, you say, "What is that? These symbols, it looks crazy to an ordinary person." If he starts explaining one of his theories, we can say, "What is he talking about?" Right? But is it that he's mad and what he's talking about makes no sense? There's nothing of value there, nothing substantial? Or this is why we designate him Einstein, and we recognize that we may not be able to appreciate what is there, But those who have some ability or capacity, they can verify that there's something substantial there. So in a similar way, Mahaprabhu and his followers were misperceived, thought to be mad. Sukadeva Goswami was thought to be mad. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was thought to be mad. Right? Sukadeva Goswami, we hear when he, before he arrives at the Sukur Tal, and the where Parikshit Maharaj has assembled with all these sages, that he's 16 years old, he's wandering naked, right? Children are yelling at him, calling him names, throwing things. Right? So from their point of view, he just looks like another puggle, crazy person. When he walks into the assembly of these sages, they're the greatest sages in the universe. They've assembled by mystic power. They've come from all different parts of the universe to give advice to Parikshit Maharaj. When they see Sukadev, they have the opposite reaction. So the normal people thought he was crazy. The highly evolved people, it's mentioned there because they are adept in the art of physiognomy. They can tell by looking at his body, the shape, the structure, right? There are some beautiful slokas there just telling about the beauty of the neck of Sukadeva Goswami, of his divine Sukadeva Goswami. By just viewing him, they can understand that he's not crazy, but actually he's a liberated soul of the highest rank. So what do? They, although these are sages with big beards, recently in India, Janardhan Maharaj was telling you that Gurudev used to tell some story where they would sit stroking their beards, going like, can do, yes, we can. You know, these sages, they have beards down to their knees. They elevate a 16-year-old naked boy to the presidential seat. Right? Sukadeva Goswami is offered the Vyasasan. 16-year-old naked boy. Why do they do it? They haven't heard him say anything yet. Just by looking at him, and also he's legendary. They've heard something. Oh, this is that Sukadev that we heard. He's was a liberated soul within the womb of his mother. That's part of his legend. So he didn't come out. When he came out, he was already fully developed. Right? And that's one of the reasons why they offer him this position. Because up to this point, they're giving Parikshit Maharaj advice on the basis of what helped them. And that's a natural thing to do. We share. If someone's suffering from something, and you were suffering in a similar way, and something's helping you to repair your health or improve, you can naturally share it with that person. But when Sukadeva Goswami comes, his position is unique because he was never suffering from illusion. He wasn't a conditioned soul before. So his advice is going to be unique. And Parikshit Maharaj, because he was getting different advice from different sages, someone saying, you should do yoga, someone, you should do tapasya, you should give in charity, you should do this. There's karma yoga, jnana yoga. Different ways to approach this. Parikshit Maharaj said, look, I have 7 days time, and all the recommendations you're giving me, you could devote a whole lifetime to studying any one of them. You could devote your whole life to practicing any one of these things. It's all good advice. But since I have a short amount of time on my hands, what I'd like you to do is get together and present a unanimous verdict, something you all agree on. So it's just after making that suggestion that he wants to hear this one suggestion that will be the unanimous verdict of the whole assembly. That's when Sukadeva Goswami arrives. And he's legendary. Guru Maharaj says he's selected to be the loudspeaker for the Srimad Bhagavatam. We may wonder sometimes, why does it come from someone who's a known say Brahmavadi, right? He's not famous at this point as a devotee. He's famous as being a liberated soul in the sense of established in the Nirguna plane, right? As we told, a Brahmavadi, because someone from that position holds the authority to be the loudspeaker for these pastimes of Krishna. So when he introduces himself, he says, Parinishthitopi nayargunye uttama sloka lilaya grihita cheta rajarse akyanam yadaditavan. He says, everyone knows, Parinishthitopi nayargunye, I was situated in the Nirguna plane. Right? Nirguna. This, the Saguna world means tama, raja, sattva, ignorance, passion, goodness, mundane qualities from gross to subtle. Saying, but I was situated in the Nirguna plane means transcendental to all of that. Trigunatita, beyond the plane of the three gunas. What is some of the evidence of that? Everything in the Bhagavatam is significant, and also in its sequence. We hear prior to that, that being raised in the ashram of Vedavyas, at one point he's leaving. Sukadev's running away from home, and Vyas is running after him. Sukadev runs by a pond where ladies are bathing. Guru Maharaj points out they're also divine ladies. That they're bathing there, and they're bathing totally naked. When Sukadev comes by, they don't even bother to clothe themselves. Then Vedavyas, he's chasing after Sukadev. My son, my son! When Vedavyas comes, the famous, great Vedavyas with the big beard and the whole, he's a great sage. Right? The women, they're like covering themselves. And Vedavyas says, I don't understand. When my son, nobody bothered to cover themselves. Now I'm here. Everybody's become shy and concealing. They said, yes, because we saw in his eyes, he doesn't distinguish male or female. There's no tinge of mundane sexuality in him. That we know.
And me?
No, right. We're not so sure, you know. So they're, no. But for Sukadev, they said, we can see not even a tinge of mundane sexual tendency in him. So why was, we can think, what is the significance of telling this? Is it just, it's an interesting anecdote, right? It's an interesting story. Or is it setting the stage for introducing Sukadev Goswami as someone being qualified to speak about the pastimes of Krishna, Radharani, Braja Gopis. So with this sort of certification, what it means is, so when Sukadev says, Parinishthitopi Nirgunye Uttama Shloka Lilaya, so I was situated in the Nirguna plane, no interest in anything mundane. Then Uttama Shloka Lilaya, I heard about the divine pastimes of Krishna, including his pastimes with Radharani and Braja Gopis. Then what happened? Grihita Cheta Rajarse Akyanam Yadaditavan. Then it was this, my whole existence, my whole consciousness was carried away to another domain that I did not know existed previously. I was carried away to another world. Like, we know this story, and whether it's in a book, in a movie about the man who's carried away, he goes to another world and he comes back to tell his tale. But here is the most remarkable tale. First of all, because it's real. It's not a story that's been manufactured by the imagination of men. It's not, as one writer called, Adventures of the Intelligence. No, this story is real. Sukadev giving himself as evidence. I was carried away to another domain. So that's why it's critical that we hear the first story. He has no interest in the sexual affairs of men and women. That isn't of no interest to him. But when he heard the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and the Braja Gopis, he was captured heart and soul. So what does it tell us? The pastimes of Radha and Krishna and the Braja Gopis are not tinged by any mundane quality. You think, what is the significance of that? That means that it opens the door for the opportunity, the prospect, muktir hitvanyata rupam swaropena vibhastati, that in the spiritual domain, in the spiritual world, the erotic principle is in its full, natural, pristine play. Right? This is something that's previously inconceivable. It's not described anywhere in any scripture or theistic system. It's inconceivable. It's unthinkable. But he's carefully indicating that this prospect, this possibility is there. Right? As Srila Guru Maharaj was explaining, regard to Sambandha Abhideya Prayojan, Sanatan Rupa Raghunath, Madan Mohan Govinda Gopinath. Why first deity is Madan Mohan? Madan means Cupid. That means the eros, the erotic principle, as Freud said, the whole material world is spinning on the basis of this principle. He discovered some profound primal truth that it's the sexual principle that is driving all of existence. Right? And then on the basis of that, he's engaged in some type of analysis. So he's identified something profound, and then he's making certain observations based on that. We're not giving him a blanket endorsement. We're just saying he discovered this principle, yes, which is described in Sanskrit as madan, right? Cupid, eros. So everyone is under the influence, right, in this world. What does madan mohan mean? Why shall that first deity be identified as madan mohan? Is that moha means illusion. So normally what we're saying is, borrowing from Dr. Freud and now taking it, now Krishnizing. We want to Krishnize Dr. Freud. We want him to have lots of Sukriti, and we expect to see him in the future. Bhakta Freud. So go from Dr. Freud to Bhakta Freud. Entschuldigung, Sie bitte. Bhakta Freud. Verstehst du? So anyway, so the first principle to understand that Madan, Eros, Cupid is creating moha, illusion, and that's why the illusory world is being driven by this principle. Right? It's what makes it spin. But here, so we'll say, Madan's creating moha for the jiva souls. Eros is creating illusion for everyone. And it's the driving principle of material existence. With Madan mohan means Krishna is so beautiful, so seductively charming, that Krishna is creating moha, illusion, for Madan. Krishna is putting eros into illusion. Eros is being seduced by the Krishna conception. So, as Guru Maharaj will say in regard to Mahaprabhu, koti kami murchitangri rupa rasa rangaram, Cupids are fainting to see the beauty. Right? Hiranyanam lakshmi varan, abhivavan angika rucha. Sometimes we use the expression, and it's common usage, we'll say, someone is painfully beautiful. You look at them, and they're so beautiful that it's it's some kind of pleasant pain we experience. Like, you can't stop looking at them. You look at what you want to look back. But when you look, if you look too long, they're just painfully beautiful. Right? That's what we're, that is the type of beauty that when Srimati Radharani's heart is enveloping Krishna, he looks so painfully beautiful that 10 million cupids are swooning. Right? So, that's Mahaprabhu. But same thing, Krishna, same, but different. As they say in Thailand, same, but different. That's a Chintya Beda Bed in Thai. Same, but different. I think we'll capture the Thai people with that sutra. So, Madan Mohan, same, but different. Achintya Beda Bed, Yang Shyama Sundara Ramachintya Guna Swarupam. So, Krishna is so beautiful. Now, Cupid is bewildered. The way we become bewildered under the influence of Cupid or Eros. Now, Eros personified has been seduced by the seductive charm of Krishna. Therefore, it's Madan Mohan. And it's in the first position. He occupies the first position. But Srila Guru Maharaj is saying, what do we learn from this? One thing we take away from this? It's pointing in the direction of the telling us that that principle, that prospect, that possibility can be redirected properly towards Krishna conception. So the charm of Madan Mohan Vigraha is taking the jiva in a particular direction of self-determination, of self-realization. And without going into the details, it's indicated by inference, means that what we thought could only be expressed or explored in this plane, that type of loving intimacy has not only its possibility or prospect in the upper world, but reaches its fullest expression there. So beautifully, and the fullest expression of the Supreme Reality, Atma Siddha Sava Lila Purna Sokya Lakshanam. What's the fullest expression of the Supreme Reality, according to Srila Guru Maharaj? He's saying, it necessarily must be Mahaprabhu. Even for those who are addicted to Krishna conception, they must recognize that the fullest expression is in Mahaprabhu, because if we factor in Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha, Krishna Nahayanya, the divine combination of Radha and Krishna. Lord Swarup Damodar says in the beginning, Hladini Shakti Rasmad. What was the first line? Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikriti Hladini Shakti Rasmad Ekat Man of Api Bhuvi Pura Deham Bedam Gatoto. That formerly they were one, then they separated, they've become one again. He said, here, mystically, again, Achintya Beda Bed, who can say which came first? Krishna Leela or Gaur Leela? Which comes first, the gift or the giver? So they're mutually coexistent. Right? Radha Krishna Nitya Leela Korilo Prakash. Both Gaur Leela and Krishna Leela are coexistent, inconceivably. But Raso Varjam Raso Pyasya Param Drishva Nivartate, Srila Guru Maharaj said, a higher taste is realized through Gaur Leela, because it's the magnanimous distribution of Krishna Leela. And here we'll see if Radha and Krishna combine as Mahaprabhu, then. And by dint of that combination, we can conceive of Gaur Leela in a superior position, because in addition to their both being there, It also has the Odarja aspect of distributing, distributing Krishna Leela, distributing Vrindavan, giving entrance into Vrindavan and Krishna Leela. Yatha yatha gaura padara vinde vindeta bhaktim krita punirasi tata tatot sarpati hridya kasmat radha padam bhoja sudam burasi. But who will believe this? Crazy people. So we're going to put a little sign here that says, for this room, for madmen only. That's my favor to you. For madmen only. So that's why he came back to this song. He's saying, I'll be happy if I'm not sane in this world. In this world where the so-called sane people have no appreciation for Guru, Gauranga, Radha Govinda, and all these things, it would be better to be insane than to be a sane member of that world. It's something like that. Once I was having a discussion with Srila Guru Maharaj, and some god brothers, they're complaining about me that I spent too much time like head in the clouds and not feet on the ground, like paying attention to management and things like that. And so I was presenting this to him like as a legitimate criticism. I said, you know, I was withdrawing from the former institution and society. And so it was an appropriate discussion. And I learned from Guru Maharaj, you should try and be brutally honest with yourself. And so I was saying, I think what they're saying is true to a certain degree, Maharaj. I have to concede this point. And he said, I disagree. He said, many can manage men, money, building, he said, but those who can extract something from the upper world and distribute it down here, he said, that is something that is very rare to find. And that made me happy. But then he said, but if they're saying that you have these, you know, you're disqualified in different ways and you have so many bad qualities, he said, then why have you come for my association? And then he said, birds of a feather flock together. And I thought, if I can be a little tiny bird in his flock, Hare Krishna.